title appears, cowbells. A pair of hands holds the steering wheel of a moving car. Drumming her fingers on the wheel, a blonde teenage girl in a hat drives the car through a posh neighborhood with sprawling tree-filled lawns. The luxury car drives past a woman and a girl who hold hands as they walk past a sign reading, Dentist. In the blonde's car, a man holding a clipboard sits in the passenger seat. Two boys skateboard past a sign that reads, Welcome to River City. A postman pushes a cart. A young boy tosses newspapers from a sack. In the car, the man observes the blonde's driving and takes notes on his clipboard as they coast down a road. Teen taps her fingers on the wheel. She switches on the radio. The man switches it off.
Hey!
I'm sorry, Miss Callum. No music.
Excuse me, isn't it one of the rules of the road? The driver controls the radio?
Not during her driver's test.
The blonde rolls her eyes.
Make a left.
She turns left onto a street.
Perfect time.
She glances at the examiner.
Wow. Has anybody ever told you have really amazing eyes? I'm not just saying that to butter you up. It's true. You should think about wearing more pastels. Light blues, pale greens. They'd so bring out your eyes and totally work for you.
Smiling, the examiner writes. She looks past him.
That's Daddy's factory. Isn't the cutest? Do you know him? Reed Callum? He's the best.
She reaches for her phone.
Absolutely not allowed.
But it's an emergency. It's my sister. Please.
She pulls to the side of the road and stops, then answers the phone.
Courtney, give me the deets. I found the most perfect dress for my party. Only promise you won't freak. It's orange.
Miss Callum.
One second.
If you do not get off the phone and resume driving immediately, you will not get your driver's license.
The blonde slaps her phone to his chest.
Okay. Ask her, is she sure the dress isn't maybe like terracotta or something?
She resumes driving. The man holds the phone.
Hey, please. I gave you that nice tip about pastels.
Smiling, he puts the phone to his ear.
Are you sure it isn't terracotta?
Courtney frowns.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's definitely orange.
Tell her she can get the dress if I can wear Jimmy Choo's.
Get the dress. But you have to let her wear your gym shoes. Goodbye.
He hangs up. Courtney turns to a store cashier.
Yes. Wrap it up. Aren't you at all concerned about the price?
Of course I am. How much?
$1,000.
Great! It's even sort of kind of within my budget.
Okay, then.
The thing is, me and my sister are best friends. So every year we divide up colors, favorite actors, and fragrances. So there's nothing to fight about. Isn't that smart? The reason I'm being so cool about the whole orange thing is because it's her cotillion. Her night. And she should completely have whatever she wants. Oh, Mr. Reeves. Only could have been there for my party. Of course, I didn't know you, so I probably would have called security.
The examiner nods.
Pull into the parking lot.
I'm done? You're not even making me do any yucky three-point turns?
She pulls the car into a parking lot and stops.
Miss Callum, I take it you're used to getting what you want.
Well, yeah.
The truth of the matter is, while you handled the car quite competently, you seem to have a very real problem staying focused.
That's what Daddy says, too. Oh, but it's not something you can flunk me for, right? Sir, before you do anything rash, let me just say this. If I don't pass today, I'm gonna be back here every possible second, requesting you and only you again and again. Then again? For as totally long as it takes.
The examiner forces a smile, then shifts his uncomfortable gaze.
On second thought, you pass.
She hugs him.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
She straightens his tie. In a house, a black-haired man opens a box containing a photo of two men.
I got you something.
A blonde man stands with him.
Oh, wow. How long have we been in business, partner?
20 years ago today. Is that unreal? We've done good, pal. course, we'd be doing even better if you'd taken the Ketchum deal, but hey, you're Mr. Slow and Steady, and I've learned to live with that.
Good, because there's more to life than money.
True, but look what money can buy.
What's that?
How long have you been talking about trying to make the time to get back to your hobby?
Since way before the girls were born. Why?
And what's the one photo that would make your collection complete?
The gold-spotted skipper, the most elusive butterfly of all.
But one which often can be found in the equatorial rainforest at the end of the rainy season, right?
He hands over an envelope.
Go ahead. Open it.
What is this?
The middle-aged blonde man removes the card from the envelope.
Is this for real? Are you... No, wait. I can't just get up and leave, Bob. This Monday?
Yes, you can. Look, I'll handle things at work. Trust me. When the stars align, you gotta go for it.
No, I can't. Courtney's party, I can't be going for that.
Sure you can. Look, Reed, you're the only guy I know who belongs to a country club he's never even been to. Courtney knows it's not your style. Besides, no offense, but do you actually think she'll even notice if you're not there? She's a teenage girl, Reed. Daddy is the last thing on her mind.
This for me.
Who deserves it more, pal?
What can I say? Thank you, Bob. It's much appreciated.
My pleasure.
The blonde man Reed hugs Bob. The luxury car enters the lavish property. A sign on its doors reads, "Congratulate me, I passed."
Heck?
The blonde stands with Courtney.
Hey, congratulations! What is this?
Isn't it fabulous, Daddy? Can you believe I passed?
Where's Corrine? I thought she had to drive you to the test.
Oh, she did. We dropped her at the market. But don't worry, though. We gave her cab fare. Yeah.
You expect her to take a taxi home with all those groceries?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I never thought about that part. I was just so excited to get home to give you the good news. Should I go back and get her?
No. I'm sure she's probably already on her way home.
I'm really sorry. It won't ever happen again, I promise. But
isn't the sign adorable?
They sell those at the DMV now?
No, silly. She ordered it last week. Just in case. Custom made and only $200. Plus, Courtney can have it for when she gets her license. And I use our frequent shoppers card, which with the 12% discount and the $4.95 cash rebate means it only really cost $171.05. Yeah, what she said.
A bargain.
In their world, it is. Okay, now. Ready for this?
Reed presses the remote, and a garage door opens. Inside, a car sits covered in a golden sheet.
You did not get me a car. For me? Really? What is it?
A genuine classic.
Oh, wait. Doesn't classic just mean old?
And used?
Yeah.
Reed pulls the cover off, revealing a red vintage convertible. Gawking, the blonde hugs her father.
Wow! It's so cute! Like the one Mom's driving in all the old pictures.
It is your mother's old car. I had Ralph down at the dairy return it to mint condition.
Daddy, that's so hot and totally special. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Come on, let's take her for a cruise.
Yes. Oh, whoa, hang on there, hotshot. This car is a stick shift.
A stick? Ew.
Yeah, so before you go grinding through all the gears of a brand new transmission, I worked out a little deal with a friend of mine. He's going to teach you on a vehicle that's not quite so delicate.
Now a sign on a farm reads, Dairy Farm Mead, in a barn.
Now look, son, in all the years, Reed Callum has been our number one milk buyer. He's never once asked me for a favor.
That's exactly my point. He didn't ask me, he asked you.
And now I'm telling you, you're the one's gonna teach his daughter to drive stick.
That's not fair. Why should I let her wreck my truck?
Because I bought you that truck to help me out, which is exactly what you'll be doing by keeping Mr. Callum happy.
You don't understand, Dad. Taylor Callum is a spoiled, stuck up, condescending.
Wow, condescending. Big word for a farm boy.
The blonde girl, Taylor, removes her sunglasses. The teen boy holds a pig.
Miss Callum, we didn't know you were here.
Obviously.
Please excuse my boy. You can be a little...
Unkind, judgmental, in desperate need of a long, hot shower.
Here, hold her a second.
The boy hands the pig to Taylor, who puts it on the ground. The animal runs off.
Hey, why'd you do that? I was going to take her to get her inoculation.
Excuse me? Do I look like a pig-holding kind of girl?
Don't worry about it, Jackson. I'll deal with Nanette. You can start the driving lesson.
Dad, come on.
The man leaves.
Let's go.
The teen boy, Jackson, and Taylor head off. Now on a field, she sits behind the wheel of a pickup truck, jerking the gear lever forward and backward. Riding shotgun, Jackson winces.
I told you, the first is up and to the left. What's the problem?
I'm trying, okay? Quit hollering.
Taylor shoves the lever into first gear.
Good. Now, ease off the clutch and give it some gas.
The truck lurches forward and stalls.
Sorry. This is hopeless.
Yeah, that's the trouble with people like you.
People like me?
Yeah. Rich, pampered chicks that glide through life without a clue. Do you have any idea what it means to actually work at something?
You're mean.
Look, can we just try this again? Start her up and put in the clutch.
Taylor turns the key. She pushes the gear lever into first.
Wow, I did it.
Hallelujah. Okay, now ease off the clutch and give it some gas.
The truck moves forward. Grinning, Taylor glances at Jackson.
I've got it, Jackson.
You see what happens when you try?
They move past a wooden barn. Peering out of his window, Jackson removes his seatbelt.
Wait, stop the truck.
What?
I need to check on Martha.
Martha who?
Stay here.
Taylor stops the truck and he leaps out. Jackson runs towards a cow, Martha grazing on a green field. Taylor runs from the truck. Jackson inspects Martha as Taylor approaches.
Is she sick?
She's pregnant. Do any day, I'm just trying to make sure everything's okay. Thought I told you to wait in the truck.
You're not the boss of me.
Did you at least put on the parking brake?
The truck rolls down the sloping field and Taylor glances over. Jackson notices her worried expression, then sees the truck and bolts.
No! Stop! Please!
Jackson chases the truck as it rolls down the hill and into a large pond.
I can't believe it's my truck!
Taylor arrives and watches the truck sink into the water. Jackson gawks as the truck submerges completely.
Jackson, I'm so, so sorry. I killed your truck. How could I do that?
Look, I know it wasn't on purpose.
But it's so horrible. I'm a terrible person. But don't worry, though, okay? Daddy will totally pay to haul it out of there and get it fixed.
Now, as the Callums dine at home, Reed spits a beverage from his mouth.
It's gonna cost me how much?
$800 for the recovery and $2,000 for the repairs. But you can use my discount card. Then it'll only be $2,450 total.
All because you didn't set the parking brake.
I'm sorry, Daddy, really. What can I say? It was all my fault. But you were the one who made me go there. Jackson Mead is the last boy I'd ever be hanging out with. Although he is kinda cute, you think?
Awesome smile.
Good hair.
Totally hot.
Girls, my point is you both seem to think I've got a money tree growing in the backyard. Your carelessness, your spending, it's got to stop.
Courtney stops on the way to the kitchen.
When you said the spending's got to stop, you don't mean stop, right? Because pulling back we can definitely do, but cut us off completely, we might die.
Taylor nods. Reed raises his eyebrows. At night, Courtney and Reed carry camping gear as they walk through the house.
I'm so glad you're doing this. Hasn't it been like forever since you've taken a real vacation?
Longer, I think.
Hey, Court.
Are you sure you're okay with me not being at your party?
Totally. I know you think the whole thing's silly. Plus, if you were there, I'd for sure have to make you dance with me. In front of everybody.
Ooh, yeah, that wouldn't be so pretty.
And I pinky promise, Daddy, I've already warned the other girls. Even though it won't be easy, I'll absolutely stick to your budget. $25,000, not one single penny more.
They lock their pinky fingers.
Deal.
Daytime. In the kitchen, Taylor grabs something from the fridge. Courtney struggles to open a can with an opener.
Darn it! I can navigate a computer better than a bunch of geeks, but I can't work this stupid can opener. Court? Yes. You might want to try plugging it in.
Taylor holds up the plug of the can opener.
Oh. Don't you hate Corinne's day off?
Taylor answers a cordless phone.
Shoppers Anonymous. Hold on, she's right here. Heather.
She gives the phone to Courtney, who hands over the open can. Taylor pours its contents into a saucepan.
Where are you? For real? That is so amazing. Plus what?
Taylor lights a gas burner.
No way. Okay, it's too good to be true. Do not move. We're out the door.
Taylor puts the saucepan on.
We've got to go, now. Heather's at Tivanello's, and she found the perfect tangerine slides for my dress. Plus, what? She says just this second, they got in 2 dozen pairs of the short boots you've been combing the city for in lavender and baby blue. Why are we still here? Grab your keys and your credit card, I'll get my phone.
Courtney tosses a dishcloth. It lands on the gas burner and catches fire. Later, Taylor drives the vintage car.
Jackson must be one great teacher, Ted. You're driving this car like an old pro.
Très impressive, no?
As they pull up to the house, Taylor and Courtney's jaws drop. Smoke wafts out of the house, and a fire truck sits outside it. In the kitchen, soot covers the wall and cupboards above the stove. Reed stands next to a housekeeper, Corinne.
I just really don't know where I failed.
Nowhere, Daddy. You're perfect. The absolute best.
I'm not talking about me. Girls, I'm talking about you two.
We know. We're total screw-ups, and we couldn't be sorrier. What can we do to make you forgive us?
Well, we can't go on like this, girls. I mean, this kitchen was your mother's favorite room in the whole house. She created some of our most popular recipes in here. Something's got to change. I mean, it's obvious that I've done nothing to teach you anything about responsibility.
That's not true. We always put our clothes in the hamper. I even separate my colors from the whites. Yeah.
I'm talking about reaching a little higher, ladies.
Well, we could start taking out the trash once a week. Twice, if that's what you want. I mean...
No. I've come to a decision.
Uh-oh. This sounds bad. You're canceling our personal trainer?
I'm insisting you take a summer job.
You're teasing, right?
I really don't think he is, girls. This is very serious business.
It's all been settled. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, you report to work at the dairy.
Oh, but my cotillion's next Saturday. I'm the only girl who doesn't have a date yet. Who am I supposed to do the spotlight dance with? Look, I know you don't understand these things, Daddy, but there's like a million last-minute details we have to handle. I can't work.
You can and you will. Your shift is from 7 to 3. You can party plan afterwards.
7? In the morning? It's earlier than school. Please don't do this. We won't spend anything or go anywhere. We'll become social rejects. Yes, it's true, Dad.
I've already canceled your credit cards, and I'm revoking your allowance. Once and for all, you girls are finally going to learn what it means to earn what you want.
Now in a dark room, a clock radio on a nightstand reads 5:29. It switches to 5:30.
Good morning, River City. Shake off those cobwebs. Wipe the sleep from your eyes. It's 5:30.
Lying in bed, Taylor switches off the radio. The room light comes on and Reed blows on a horn. Taylor springs up. Taylor lies down and pulls the covers over her head. Reed goes to Courtney's room and turns on the light.
Stop! I can't take it!
Rise and shine, working girls.
Oh, turn off the lights.
Come on, let's get going. I got a plane to catch and you two have to report to duty.
If the sun isn't up, why should we be?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Nobody ever said that reality was pretty.
The girls put their fingers in their ears as Reed heads out.
Dads.
Now remember, where I'm headed is so remote, there's no cell service.
Later.
Oh, I even love.
My point is, I can't be checking up on you, so I need you guys to promise me that everything's gonna go okay.
Of course it will, Daddy. We won't embarrass you. We promise.
And who knows? You might even like working. You might find it interesting. Okay, all right, okay. Just try to behave, okay? Make a good impression. Make me proud.
Will you quit worrying? They have to love us. We're the boss's daughters.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, girls.
Love you.
Love you, too. Remember, blinker.
Yeah.
First
we
up
got
to
it.
The
t- we got it, Dad.
Up
we
to
got
the
it.
Left.
Okay. We're good. Love you, Dad.
Okay, yeah. Love you too. Whoa!
Now Taylor pulls into the parking bay of a building with a sign reading, Callum Dairy. People walk in and out of the building. Taylor and Courtney climb out of the vintage car. They look at each other and nod, then head off. In an office, Bob sits at a desk, typing on a computer. Taylor pokes her head in.
Knock, knock. Morning, Uncle Bob.
Girls. You're right on time. Just, give me one quick second. There. So, bet you never figured it'd come to this, huh?
Oh, isn't it so cruel of Daddy?
You know, he's only doing what he thinks is best. Did he get off to the airport okay?
He's way excited. That was really nice of you.
Hey, what are friends for? Anyway, it's actually Fran Walker, our production supervisor, you'll be reporting to. So let's track her down and get you to work.
Later, Taylor and Courtney stand with a woman, Fran, who wears a white coat. A photo of a blonde woman hangs on a wall.
Wow, what a great picture of Mom.
She was something, your mother. The power behind the throne.
Now look at the two of you all grown up and ready to follow in her footsteps.
Actually, we're only here because Daddy's forcing us.
We're complete disasters in the kitchen. Not like Mom at all.
Men in white uniforms work.
Which is why we're hoping you let us work in an office.
You know, answering phones, making coffee.
Working people love coffee, right?
Courtney gapes at the workers.
She's being way modest, but Courtney's a star computer geek. Like, if you need supplies, online shopping is her specialty.
Plus, Taylor is a total math head. She can figure out sale prices better than anybody.
Oh, stop.
Well, the truth is, your father was very specific about wanting you out here on the production line.
Oh, please, no. Not that.
Don't worry, we'll start you with something simple.
She hands the girls hairnets.
But over there?
Mm-hmm.
Like them?
Workers stir liquids in a vat.
Wearing that?
Workers in white uniforms and hairnets roll crates along a conveyor. Fran nods.
Okay.
Workers roll crates packed with tubs down a conveyor. Up the line, a worker packs white Callum-branded tubs into a crate. Further up the line, workers seal lids onto the tubs. Courtney and Taylor work next to them wearing white coats and hairnets.
Honestly, I wish you knew how hilarious you look.
Like, you look any better.
Except I can't see me, so who cares?
Courtney takes out her phone and points it at Taylor.
What are you doing?
I'm so gonna send a picture of you like this to Jackson Mead.
Courtney, give me that!
No! No!
As Taylor wrestles her for the phone, it slips and lands in a tub of yogurt.
Uh-oh. Now look what you did! Taylor, just get it! Do something!
Taylor runs to a man down the line.
Stop the presses!
What?
Excuse me, but my sister's phone kinda accidentally flew into one of your tubs.
A phone? Which tub?
We don't know. We lost track.
The man pushes a button marked stop.
Well, this is great. Now, what are we supposed to do? Scrap the whole run? How could the two of you be so careless?
We're sorry, all right? We're new at this. It's not like we meant to cause trouble.
It was a simple mistake.
Oh, yeah, a costly and stupid mistake.
Hold on, Mr. Whatever your last name is. Taylor, you can't call Daddy. He's out of cell range, remember? But you're not.
Hello, why call me? I'm right here.
Taylor scans the tubs on the conveyor belt. She dips her hand into a yogurt-filled tub.
Problem solved.
She removes Courtney's phone and winces at the yogurt-drenched device.
And how do you suppose I make up for the 4 minutes of lost production time?
I don't. Can you control the speed of this machine?
Yeah.
Okay, then if you ramp it up by 15 seconds for 16 minutes, then you'll regain your lost time and be back on schedule.
Yeah, what she said.
The man grabs the tub the phone fell into.
This is coming out of your pay. Back to work.
The girls leave. The time on a wall clock moves from 8:05 to 11 o'clock. On the conveyor belt, the tubs pass a device that prints the words July 26 on the lids. The girls have specks of yogurt on their faces as they put lids on the tubs. Courtney removes a lid from a tub.
Wait, nope, that's a bad one. Come on.
Taylor dunks her hand into a tub.
Okay, this one's not good.
Splashes of yogurt cover the conveyor belt.
Oh. Finally. Quitting time. Oh, yeah. Need to break it to you, sis. It's only lunch. Yeah.
Courtney storms off. Later, the girls walk into the packed break room and pause. The workers sitting at tables turn and stare. Receiving glares from the workers, the sisters continue into the break room.
This is a tad awkward.
Just smile and wave, and maybe they won't hurt us.
The girls smile and wave.
Hi.
A man shakes his head.
Wow.
Only because of one dropped cell phone.
These people seriously need to lighten up.
Courtney, Taylor, what are you doing here?
Mr. Press, Heather didn't tell you? Daddy sent us to work.
I guess that explains this morning's production slowdown.
You heard?
Everybody heard. Life in a small company, no secrets.
Oh.
Where are your lunches?
There isn't a caterer.
Well, until you can take that up with your father, you'll have to rely on our machines.
Mr. Perez walks away. The girls turn to a vending machine from which a woman removes a banana. Later, the girls sit with Mr. Perez. Taylor pokes a sandwich.
Gina and I can't wait for the big party Saturday night, Courtney. So flattered you included us.
Are you kidding? You guys are like my second parents.
Heather says it's gonna be great.
If I ever get a date. You still haven't asked anybody? Like who?
A young man rises from a table.
Au revoir.
The girls watch the blonde man walk past them.
How about him? Who's that?
His name is Philippe. An exchange student from France living with the Millers for the year. My dad got him an internship for the summer.
Huh. Good old dad.
They watch as Philippe leaves.
But what are you doing? Go after him! Make up for this lousy lunch by having a French pastry for dessert. Taylor, I can't! What if he doesn't like me? What if he says no? It's all too terrifying and potentially humiliating. I can't move.
Nearby, a group of workers stand together and ready musical instruments. Fran stands at a mic.
Oh, yeah. It's Monday. I forgot. You're going to love this. This is one of your dad's ideas called homemade jams.
The girls share a smile. Girls clap their hands. Workers lock arms and dance with one another.
We're happy to be right here, you see, together at the creamery.
All right, if anybody wants to come up here and join us, now's your chance.
Come on.
Oh, me and my sister are really good singers. Can we do backup?
Thanks anyway, but this band's for real working folk. I think you'd be better off joining the Pretenders.
Frowning, the girls turn to Mr. Perez, who stops laughing. Now the girls step through a door, each carrying a tub of red liquid labeled blueberry.
So rude the way everybody's acting like they're not watching us. But they so are. Just waiting for us to mess up again. Yeah, I mean, would it be so hard to be supportive? We're trying our best. Well, maybe if we moved a bit faster. Like, it's not hard enough. Come on, Court. Let's show them what the Callum girls are made of. Yeah.
Walking briskly in their high heels, they slip and fall near the production line. The blueberry juice splashes all over them. Workers gather around the girls as they sit up covered in crushed blueberries.
Sorry. Our bad. Honest mistake. Point us to the mops and we'll clean up.
A few workers shake their heads. Taylor licks her fingers.
Good blueberries, though. Yeah. She said.
Everyone leaves.
No, don't go. little help? Somebody? Anyone?
The girl's feet slip as they try to stand. Taylor's shoes slide off her feet, and Courtney reaches for them.
Shoo, shoo.
Elsewhere, a sign reads, "This department has worked 246 days without a lost time injury." Fran erases the number 246 and writes a zero in its place.
Okay.
Now wearing towels over their heads, the girls open the door of a laundry machine and remove their clothes.
I cannot wait to tell Corrine we did our own laundry. I am so taking this for proof.
Court?
Yeah, put it down. Okay.
She puts down the detergent. Elsewhere, a man gives a woman a check.
There you go, Joyce.
Thanks, Melvin.
Peter Palmer! This should get you one step closer to that new patio.
Not this week. No, this one's going towards my daughter's braces.
Oh, good one.
Do you have one for us, Melvin?
Well, if it isn't the Callum sisters, and don't you look beautiful?
Thanks, Melvin. You too.
Oh.
So how much do we get for one whole day?
Believe it or not, my darlings, you don't get paid unless you work an entire week.
That's no fair. How am I supposed to buy nail polish and bubble bath?
Yeah.
Well, by putting that pretty little nose to the grindstone and keeping it there.
That would really hurt. Yeah, and you'd totally end up looking like a pug dog.
Yeah.
Night, Melvin. I'm so happy to see you're still around.
Taylor blows him a kiss before leaving with Courtney. Outside, Jackson unfurls a long hose from the side of a tanker truck. Taylor and Courtney approach him.
Slumming?
Gliding through life without a clue? Actually, we were working. We made it through one whole day.
I guess miracles never cease.
He drops the hose and picks up a clipboard.
Daddy left me the check for your truck. Would you like me to bring it over later?
Or I can come by and get it.
That's okay. I was kind of hoping to see how Martha's doing.
Really?
How about I come over around 7?
That'll work.
I'll see you then.
Okay.
Come on.
Courtney pulls Taylor away. Later, the sisters sit at a table eating takeout with a dark-haired girl.
If it wasn't for your dad, I don't know what we would have done. Everybody else was so harsh.
I mean, seriously, is it our fault Daddy owns the place?
Anyway, I saw this adorable French guy in the lunchroom, and your dad said he's an exchange student living with the Millers.
She wants him to be your party date.
I forgot, is Richie Miller invited to your party?
Why would he be? I mean, he's hardly the Italian type. Then it's perfect!
What? Okay, after dinner, you and me will take Richie an invitation. We'll make up some story about it getting lost in the mail. He'll mention his Frenchie. We'll act all surprised and invite him too.
Heather, that's brilliant!
I know. You want to come?
I can't. She's going to see Jackson Mead. He is so going to be your new boyfriend.
Really? He's hot.
And wait, in love with my sister.
In a farmhouse, Jackson sprays deodorant on himself and compares various shirts. Home, Taylor faces a mirror and applies mascara. She looks at herself, then yawns. She eyes an envelope stuck to the mirror with the words Jackson Mead written on it, then leaves. At his home, Jackson sits at a table with a bunch of flowers. He looks at a wall clock reading 7:15. In Taylor's room, the clock radio in the nightstand reads 7:16. Taylor lies asleep in bed. At night, Heather and Courtney sit on a low wall. A teen boy with black hair hits golf balls on a putting mat.
Anyway, the post office messed up and your invite came back, which made me feel awful, because I'm sure you're all hurt thinking you weren't invited. And
to be honest, I didn't even know there was going to be a party.
Oh. But you want to come, right? Everybody's going to be there.
Everyone.
Would there be video games?
Richie, it's a dance party with tons of beautiful girls like us.
Oh.
Well, if it'll make you feel more comfortable, you could bring someone like a friend or a foreign exchange student.
If you happen to have one, she means.
I do. He's from France.
You're kidding. Is he here? Should we ask him now?
He's upstairs. Why don't I go see what he thinks?
Richie dashes off.
Nice.
Heather and Courtney share a laugh. At Jackson's house, the clock reads 8:16. Jackson rises from the table and tosses the flowers into the trash. At Richie's, Heather and Courtney sit with Philippe.
Wow, so this is my first American, how you call it?
How you call it? Isn't that darling? It's a cotillion. You know, a kind of coming out party.
Coming out of what?
Oh, Philippe, you're so funny. So, will you come and be Courtney's date?
It would, please me much to attend.
Thank you, Philippe. I'm thrilled. Look for me at work tomorrow, okay?
The girls rise.
Oh, we're glad you're coming to the party too, Richie. See you there. Bye.
They leave. In Taylor's room, her clock turns to 5:30.
Good morning, River City. Can you believe it? It's 5:30 in the a.m.
Oh, no, Jackson!
Those cobwebs. Wipe the sleep from your eyes.
Courtney walks into the room brushing her teeth.
Can you say something?
Jackson, I stood him up. I blew it. I'll bet he hates my guts.
The really bad news is we have to go to work again.
Courtney heads out and Taylor flops onto her back. In the factory, workers assemble before Melvin.
I don't think you're listening to us, Melvin. Our checks bounce.
All of them.
But that just can't be. My books have always been unimpeachable. I mean, why do you think that I've never relied on the computer monkey business? Because I always make them out by hand, so they're absolutely perfect.
Yeah, well, I think the banks would beg to differ.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not responsible
oh,
for
what... Oh, hey, well, maybe they know something.
Where's your phone?
How come our check's back?
Yeah, where's our money?
Wait, shh. Please, quiet.
Melvin turns to the sisters.
We seem to be broke.
What? Daddy ran out of money? Oh, there's no possible way.
Unfortunately, there is a way.
Bob steps over with a file.
I just got off the phone with Nelson Partridge at the bank. Apparently, your father took more than luggage on his trip. Our company account is completely wiped out.
He hands the file to Melvin.
He didn't do anything bad. He couldn't. He wouldn't.
I never would have believed it myself, girls, but the money's gone.
There has to be some other explanation. I've known Reed for over 20 years, and this is not something he's capable of.
He's always done everything he can to make this a great place to work.
Look, I've been here since the very beginning, and I can assure all of you that Reed Callum is a true humanitarian.
All right, look, before we jump to terrible, damaging conclusions, maybe the best thing I can do is get on a plane, try and track him down.
And what are we supposed to do in the meantime?
If I'm not getting paid, I'm not working.
No, we have to keep working or we'll miss our delivery deadlines. Please, just for today. Don't we owe Mr. Callum that much until we get this all straightened out?
Daddy would never rip you guys off. He loves this place and he loves all of you. Which is why we need to get back to work at once. No!
Taylor pushes a button on a machine. White liquid shoots out of a pipe and sprays all over her. She pushes the button again and the flow stops.
Sorry. So sorry.
Right there.
Yeah, just stay there.
The girls leave. On the sign that reads, "This department has worked 1 day without a lost time injury," Fran erases the 1 and writes a 0. Now the sisters face a mirror in the locker room. Courtney wipes her ear with a towel.
This is terrible. Everybody's freaking out. Daddy's gone. His money's gone.
Are we going to be poor?
Bite your tongue.
They remove their coats.
To hope Uncle Bob can track him down and get to the bottom of this.
Do you think Bob's left yet? I really want to tell him to tell Daddy how much we believe in him.
Come on, let's go see.
They leave. Later, the girls enter Bob's office and find it unoccupied.
That's weird. He left. Why is this in the trash?
A photo of Bob and Reed.
And all broken? Do you think Uncle Bob flipped out it because he actually believes Daddy's a crook?
Taylor stares off thoughtfully.
Or what if it's Uncle Bob who's the crook? Think about it, Court. What if that's how come he gave Dad such a generous trip? To get him out of the way and set him up?
That is so evil. I know. But listen,
We're positive Daddy didn't take the money. And yet it's gone. So who else could be a logical suspect?
What are we gonna do?
Now Fran answers her front door to the sisters.
Girls, this is an unexpected surprise. Come on in.
Courtney and Taylor Callum. This is Keith, my husband.
Hi.
Hi. He works the night shift at the ferry.
Hello, girls.
Keith. We're sorry to barge in on you. Oh, Fran. But look.
She hands over the damaged photo.
Oh, should this mean something to me?
Fran chose Keith.
See, Daddy gave that picture to Bob as a gift last week. Only Taylor and I found it in Bob's trash, in his office, with the glass all smashed. And Taylor started thinking, what if it's Bob who took the money? And I agree.
Yeah, I'd buy that. Something about this guy always seemed a bit off to me.
Like, maybe it's Colin Munko, and we're not even related. Yeah, right.
Plus, it's no secret that Bob was furious when your dad wouldn't sell the dairy.
Sell the dairy?
Yeah, old man Ketchum wanted to buy us out. Convert us to a fully automated plant like one of his, but your dad wouldn't hear of it because we'd all be out of work.
Yeah. I knew Daddy was a good guy.
You know, in my opinion, Bob never got over missing out on that big bag of cash.
So what do we do now?
Well, why don't you girls stay for dinner and we'll talk about it?
Yeah, we're making pizza.
Oh, we don't want to intrude.
No, don't.
Well, you won't be intruding. We'll put you to work.
Yeah.
Fran tosses a dishcloth to Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Keith tosses pizza dough in the air, flanked by the girls.
He's such a show-off, isn't he?
Oh, you're just jealous.
Cooking can be so much fun.
Take my advice, girls.
Nice.
Marry someone who loves to cook.
Keith hands Fran a finished pizza.
What are we doing, feeding an army here?
Oh, this one's for an elderly neighbor next door.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, it's just the neighborly thing to do.
The girls toss up pizza dough. One lands on Taylor's head and the other on the floor.
I'm not eating that.
In the backyard of a lavish house.
We have to get our flowers from the Gilded Lily because everybody knows they do the most gorgeous arrangements in town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're also twice as expensive as everybody else.
Well, duh. What do you think makes them the best?
Okay. If we spend $10,000 on flowers, we can get the balloon arch or the ice sculpture. But we can't afford both.
Aw, oh, bummer.
Let's be practical. The ice sculpture's only gonna melt.
But it's so classic. It's like our signature thing. We need it.
What if we cut up the seafood appetizer bar?
Yeah.
No.
That's the most original thing on our menu. Everybody will love it.
Guys, obviously, we're just gonna have to ask our dads for more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, no. Haven't they been really clear? We have to work with the budget we've got. They're not giving us one penny more.
This is so unfair. Why does everything have to cost so much?
Sarah's the one who insists we simply must have steak and lobster. What's wrong with chicken?
This isn't some stupid business banquet, Courtney. Chicken is a tacky no-no.
Seriously, I mean, if we're not gonna top last year's girls, why even do this at all?
Exactly.
Maybe we're not figuring it out right. Give me all the numbers and I'll talk to Taylor. She's like Rain Man with math.
Yeah, plus, she's been through this already.
I bet she can tell us what we're doing wrong.
Later, Courtney writes in a notebook in her room. Taylor stands beside her.
See? It's impossible. When did the world get to be so expensive?
I've got a feeling it's always been this way, Court. Just finally being forced to pay attention.
You know, whoever came up with that ignorance is bliss thing was really onto something.
Speaking of that, after being at Fran's tonight, I was thinking.
Uh-oh, this can't be good.
With everything going on at the dairy and Daddy being so out of reach, doesn't it feel like it's sort of up to us to try to fix this mess?
No.
Courtney gets up.
Court.
She sits on her bed.
You saw how it is. People like Fran and Keith totally depend on Dad for their life. Can we seriously sit back and let it all fall apart?
Taylor, hello. I thought we were talking about my party problems.
Well, in a weird way, we are.
She sits on the bed facing Courtney.
I think we should use your party allowance to cover the dairy worker's salaries.
Oh, wow, you got me so good. For a second, I thought you were serious.
I am. Have you totally lost it? I can't do that. The girls and I are splitting all costs equally, the way it's always done. If I can't contribute my share, how can I be part of it? I guess you can't. I'm really sorry, Court, but this is totally a family emergency.
Hey, it's not my emergency. I mean, it's fine for you to be all noble. You already had your most amazing cotillion. Now it's my turn. My chance to shine. And it's really mean of you to try to take that away.
All right, okay? Calm down. It was only a suggestion.
simply have to figure out another way to help.
Exactly. Thank you for coming to your senses.
Taylor sees Jackson's envelope stuck to the mirror.
Oh, no! I still have to deal with Jackson!
She snatches it and bolts. At the Meads' house, Jackson's dad searches the fridge, then answers the phone.
Mead Dairy Farms?
Jackson eats at the table.
Yeah, who may I say is calling? Yeah, hold on a minute. I'll get him. It's Taylor Callum for you.
Meyer.
He says he's not here. All right. She says she's sorry she didn't make it by last night, but she'd like a chance to explain.
I'm not interested, okay? Just tell her to put the check in the mail.
Jackson storms out.
Taylor. Yeah, he had to run off to the bathroom. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell him. Okay, bye.
Taylor hangs up. She plops down on her bed. At work, the sisters and others walk down a hallway.
Good morning. We're asking everybody to report to the lunchroom for company meeting. Melvin.
Yeah.
Lunchroom. Meeting. It won't take long.
Look, we will find a solution.
Okay, see, the trouble is all our products are perishable, so any kind of real shutdown is something we cannot afford.
Oh, so exactly how long do you think we should work without pay, friend?
Do you think my landlord cares if our inventory goes bad? He wants to know when I'm going to pay the rent.
The reality is, most of us live paycheck to paycheck. I'm as loyal as anyone, but if there's no future here, we want to know that now.
Of course there's a future. It's just, it's going to require some patience.
Taylor looks around while Courtney files her nails.
No, please, it's just, look, I know we will find an answer to this problem.
Do me a huge favor. I left my cell phone in the car. So? So I need to see if Jackson calls so I can call him back. Please go get it for me. Why can't you? Because unlike some people, I'm actually listening to what's going on. Please, Court, please. Fine, but you owe me. Thanks, sis. You're dumb.
Whatever. I know, we're all in this together, though.
Taylor watches Courtney leave, then joins Fran and Melvin at the front.
We're trying, Peter.
Excuse me? Everybody, excuse me.
Hi. I know the situation is way terrible and scary, but I was wondering if I could fix it so there was money for your paychecks.
quiet, please. Please, let her finish.
Mr. Perez nods at Taylor.
If I could do that, would you keep on working until my dad gets back?
Well, maybe, yeah, but come on, you're a kid. Even you can't have that kind of cash laying around.
I don't. But I think I can get it.
How? By selling your solid gold sports car?
Or auctioning off your collection of designer handbags.
Anyway, since when do you care what happens to us?
Can I please just say what I was trying to say?
Why? Yeah. So we can break our backs and make more sacrifices to support your lifestyle?
We don't need your pity, honey. We need answers.
Yeah, don't even try to pretend to relate to us, because you can't.
Please. If you'll all go back to your jobs and just give me till the end of the day.
What if we don't trust you?
Yeah, you'd never even be working here if your father didn't force you.
Yeah. Okay, let's get real for a second, all right? You and your sister are nothing but a pair of spoiled brats.
Say that.
You're right. About all of it. Maybe that's why I'm trying to change.
Taylor and Fran exchange looks. They put their arms around each other's backs. Outside, Philippe stacks crates onto a handcart. Courtney approaches him.
Philippe, hey.
Hey, bonjour, Courtney. How are you?
I can't believe this is the first time we've seen each other here. I'm sure been looking for you.
You know, for most of the day, Ralph and I are on the road. Delivery guys. Kind of goes with the turf, you know?
You're still coming to my party, right?
Cannot wait.
Listen, there's one thing I probably should mention the other night. See, since you said he'd be my, my date, there's this, one of the big traditions at these parties is a special deal they call the spotlight dance.
As in all eyes are on the girls being celebrated?
Exactly. Just the four honorees and their dates out there in front of everybody.
Is that something you'd be cool with?
Why I would not be?
It can be a bit embarrassing.
Nah, but she, that is the beauty of being a foreigner. Everybody's a stranger, so who cares what they think? If you need for me to dance with you, I dance.
Great. Thanks. Bye.
She heads off.
All right, Romeo, get in the truck.
Courtney enters the break room to find it vacant, apart from a janitor mopping the floor. She leaves. In the women's locker room.
Well, Fran, what am I supposed to do? I need to make my rent this month.
I know, we all do. Listen, this is just a temporary situation, okay?
Courtney enters.
Fran, do you know where my sister is?
She and Melvin had to run an errand.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, don't worry. I promise you.
Taylor stands in a bank.
Thanks, ma'am. We're all done?
She takes a check from a teller and gives it to Melvin.
Here you go.
It's for $20,000.
Isn't it pretty?
Are you sure you want to do this?
Totally.
You're a good girl, Taylor.
On the production line, Courtney works as Fran, Melvin, and Taylor enter.
Excuse me, folks.
If I could just have your attention for a minute. Due to the remarkable generosity of our very own Taylor Callum.
Oh, and my sister Courtney.
Oh, yeah. The current payroll has been guaranteed.
Courtney folds her arms.
Melvin will be handing out your reissued checks at the end of your shift.
Courtney stares daggers at Taylor.
And, well, hopefully this will tide us over till Reed gets back. Thanks.
Her mouth agape, Courtney goes back to work, then glances at Taylor, who sheepishly gazes back at her. Courtney storms off. Later, Melvin hands out checks to workers as they exit the building.
Talk to me.
Not here.
Where did that money come from?
I told you, I don't think we should talk about it until we're home.
In Taylor's room, Courtney approaches her sister.
I don't get it. How could you do this to me?
Courtney, I'm so, so sorry. We really didn't have any other choice.
Yes, we did. It's my party budget, my money. You know, the only reason Daddy even put your name on the account is because you're so much better at bank math than me. You promised last night you weren't going to touch it.
I know. But then we got to work. You heard them. If the dairy goes under, they might lose their houses. Their kids won't get to go to college. It's serious stuff they're dealing with.
Yeah, but we're only kids. Why should it be up to us to fix everybody's problems? Do you seriously even understand half the stuff they're talking about?
No. Not totally. But I know enough to realize we have some sort of a duty there.
Maybe you do. My only duty is to show up at work and stay out of trouble like Daddy wanted. And if you knew what was good for you, that's what you do too.
Look, I'll bet you can still be a part of the party. We'll talk to the other girls. We'll work out a compromise.
Yeah, right. Sarah Van Dyke was already dying to kick me out just for suggesting we switch to chicken.
What if I explain the situation to
you? You've done enough damage. Thanks. Frankly, I think this is what you wanted all along. My party's wrecked. Everybody will still remember yours the best.
Courtney, that's not true. How could you even think that?
I hope it's worth it because I'm never speaking to you again.
Courtney, come on! Courtney! Don't talk to me, you horrible traitor! Go away!
Taylor stands outside Courtney's room. Now Taylor drives down an unpaved road to the Mead farm. She pulls into the driveway of the lush farmhouse and stops her car. She unbuckles the seatbelt and picks up the letter, then climbs out. She walks to the house. Taylor steps onto the porch. Jackson sees her through the open front door.
What do you want?
I brought you your check.
I told you to mail it.
Jackson, the other night I wanted to come over, but I fell asleep. The whole working thing wiped me out.
Well, considering how foreign it must have been for you, I'm surprised your body didn't go into shock.
Who knows? Maybe it did.
Jackson steps out of the house and sets down a bunch of wood, then takes the envelope from Taylor. They walk off.
Now they're saying my truck's gonna be ready day after tomorrow. How sweet is that? What are you doing?
Taylor tears up.
What's wrong?
Everything. My father's company's broke. Half the people there think he did horrible, terrible things. We've got no way to reach him. And my one attempt to help ended up with my sister thinking I'm an evil, devious witch. Now she's not even speaking to me.
Sounds bad.
Want to know the most pathetic part?
Jackson nods.
The only person I could come up with to unload on is a guy who thinks I'm a spoiled brat.
A condescending spoiled brat.
Right.
Jackson! Jackson! Come quick, I need you. Martha's getting ready to calf.
Let's go.
Jackson takes Taylor's hand and they run off. Later, she paces in a barn.
I don't know what's wrong. It was all moving right along and then it just stopped.
But her water bag broke, right?
Yeah, about 10 minutes ago.
The guys kneel by Martha.
I think she's distracted.
What?
By that bull. She keeps eyeing him like she'd prefer a little privacy.
Taylor, cows aren't like people.
Says you. Name one female in the universe who'd want to be on display going through this.
Jackson and his dad trade a look. Taylor marches to the bull and chases him away.
Shoot! Get out of here! Shoot! Shoot! Get out of here! Give poor mama cow a break!
The bull walks away. Taylor puts her hands on her hips and heads back to the others. Jackson strokes Martha.
Okay.
Taylor kneels by Martha and strokes her head.
There. That's better, huh? Now you can push your little baby out with some dignity.
She's doing it. She's pushing.
Yeah. Oh,
that's my good cow.
Okay, here it comes. Okay, here it comes. Check it out.
Yeah. Oh, well done, Martha. It's a girl, just like we were hoping for.
They steady the calf.
Look how cute she is.
Taylor kisses Martha's head. She heads to the calf. Taylor cups the calf's face.
Welcome to the world, little one.
She hugs the calf and kisses her. Later, she walks hand in hand with Taylor through a field, wearing a t-shirt and shorts.
I have to admit, I'm amazed how great you were with Martha.
What can I say? We totally bonded.
Never would have predicted that in a million years.
Maybe that's why you should get to know a person before you go making a bunch of judgments.
Sort of the way you did with me.
Sort of how we both did.
They stop and stare at each other. Jackson leans toward Taylor and they kiss. The sun touches the horizon and casts an orange glow. Now in Taylor's room, the alarm clock switches to 5:30.
Good morning, River City! Shake off those cobwebs, wipe the sleep from your eyes. That's right, it's 5:30 in the morning!
Her hand reaches out of bed and switches it off.
Ugh.
Taylor sits up. She leaps out of bed, then enters the bathroom, where a note stuck to the mirror reads, "Corinne drove me to work. Forget I exist." Taylor snatches it and storms out. On the production line, Courtney seals lids onto the yogurt tubs. Taylor stacks the empty tubs nearby. The sisters glance at each other. Taylor heads over to Courtney.
Courtney, I know you're mad, but please. We can still try to work out the party thing. You've got all the most important stuff. Your date, your fabulous dress. Too bad I don't have a sister. Come on, can't we talk about this? No, we can't. You're not worthy. You can't talk about my dress. You can't talk about Philippe. You're not even allowed to say the date anymore, okay? For the rest of your ugly life, I want July 10th totally stricken from your vocabulary.
Courtney heads to a computer next to the conveyor belt.
What are you doing, Callum?
That beeping means you have to reset the expiration date.
Don't worry about it, Thomas. I'm on it.
She types on a keyboard.
Expiration date reset.
The date changes from July 30 to July 10.
You're never going to believe what's happening now. The new checks didn't bounce. They couldn't
No, they didn't.
But I just heard that sometime yesterday, the storage silo refrigeration system shut down. All our milk's gone bad.
Shouldn't somebody have been monitoring
that? Oh, yeah, Bob Fenwick. It was part of his job, but he was too busy robbing the company blind. I'm sure he didn't have time for anything else.
Well, it was Bob, not Reed, who took the money?
Think about it, Thomas. Who always had our best interests at heart and who didn't?
In the break room, Fran sits with Taylor, Melvin, Peter, and Mr. Perez.
Folks, let's just focus on the present, okay? Without milk or the money to pay for more, we can't fill any of the orders we have on hand.
So what do we do?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think we have any choice. We finish the cycle we're in and we shut down.
Well, what happened to all our accounts awaiting deliveries this weekend?
Well, I'll just have to start making some phone calls and hopefully they'll understand.
Yeah.
This is a disaster.
Oh, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks without work, and I don't think I'll be able to keep up with my mortgage payments.
Well, Keith and I have no idea how we're going to send Charlie back to college this fall.
Oh.
Wait. What if I talk to Jackson Mead? Maybe his dad could give us milk on credit for a few days. I'm afraid our world doesn't work like that. Credit is a luxury that nobody in this industry can afford.
But, Sarah, I still have $5,000.
I mean, if we all agree to make a few sacrifices and a compromise or two, I'm sure we can work this out.
Excuse me, is this a cotillion or a charity event?
What do you expect me to do, pull money out of thin air? I'm not a magician.
I'd cry for you, but I don't want my mascara to run. Look, we have to pay the caterer and the country club tonight. If you can't deliver your full share, then it breaks my heart to tell you, but you're out. Love you.
A woman paints Sarah's toenails.
I don't want that color.
Courtney rises from a table in the break room.
Well, I can at least ask, right? If he says no, he says no, and we'll go from there.
Courtney approaches Taylor.
Congratulations! You win! I've officially been kicked out of my own party. You must be thrilled.
She leaves. Taylor gets up.
I've got to go.
She goes after Courtney.
Whoa.
Courtney, what's the deal? It's done. It's over. According to Sarah, me minus my money equals bye-bye. Okay, I'm really, really sorry, but have you not been listening to anything this morning? It's only getting worse and worse. We've got all these great people with their entire futures at stake. Without the cash to replace the spoiled milk, everybody's gonna lose their jobs.
And I'm sorry this became my responsibility. When?
You know, for once in your life, it might be nice to spend 2 seconds thinking about somebody other than yourself. Why should I? I hate this place. You know, I don't care what Daddy wanted. I quit, okay?
Courtney takes off her coat, throws it on the floor, and storms off. Taylor looks on. On the Mead farm, a tractor rolls past a tanker truck. Taylor and Jackson walk through a milking parlor.
Taylor, that's not something I can even ask my father.
How come?
Look, my dad's a really good man. Too good. He'll help anybody in trouble. But that's no way to keep a small farm like ours in business. If we take on one more dollar of debt, it's gonna crush us.
Can I say one thing? Living in the real world stinks.
Now Courtney walks past a house's window and waves at Heather as a woman fixes her dress.
Heather, stop wiggling so I can get this pin.
Oh, no, hide me.
It's just Courtney.
Exactly.
Hello?
Hey, honey, come on in.
Courtney approaches them.
How come you're not at work? Oh, long story.
How do you like your party dress?
I thought you found something fabulous at Holly's.
I did. We can't afford it.
Who cares? This is going to be even better. It's perfect.
That's exactly what I told her.
Mom, could you give us a minute?
I'll go and get you girls some iced tea.
Thanks.
Heather's mom walks away.
You weren't supposed to see any of this. It's so humiliating.
Heather, what's the big deal? Are you kidding? You with all your designer this and couture that? Who cares? It's not like we're in competition.
Maybe it doesn't feel like that to you because you get everything you want. It's hard for me, Courtney. It always has been. I love you, but come on, do you ever stop to think about anyone but yourself?
Oh, no.
What?
That's exactly what Taylor said. Am I really that bad?
Well, yeah, but why wouldn't you be? I mean, your whole life's been a total fairy tale. How are you supposed to have a clue about reality?
That still doesn't mean I deserve to go around acting like some spoiled princess. I mean, who am I? Sarah? Yuck.
No, Court. Underneath, you're a really good person.
Thanks. But I think it's time for me to do better than that.
At the Callum home, Corinne loads dishes into the dishwasher. Courtney enters.
You're home early.
The teen sits at the table.
Anything we need to talk about?
I miss Mom.
Corinne sits down.
It doesn't seem fair, does it?
She just always knew the right thing to say. Whenever me and Taylor were fighting, she was the only one who could get us back together.
She was that way with everybody. Your father used to call her his secret weapon. And you know why? Because she had compassion and she had perspective. She knew better than anybody that her good life was just a happy accident.
Yeah.
Do you want some yogurt?
Sure.
Your mom's recipe, best one.
At the factory, Fran and Taylor enter the break room.
I'm afraid we've come at this from every possible angle, and quite frankly, there's no money, no milk. We're out of options. Unless... back in a flash.
Taylor rushes off. She follows a worker toward the production line.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, what's up?
Well, my dad told me how much fun you had restoring my mom's old Mustang for me, so I was wondering. Do you want to buy it?
What? I thought you were crazy about that car.
Oh, I am. But considering the latest nightmare here, I'm desperate for some extra cash, and selling my car is the only solution I can think of.
Honestly, Taylor, as much as I'd love to get my hands on that baby, that's just not anything I can afford.
Please, Ralph. You have no idea how important this is.
Yeah, I get that. All I got's $9,000.
I'll take it.
Awesome.
Ralph leaves. At the meat house, Taylor signs a piece of paper.
Here you go, Jackson. This is a down payment.
She gives it to Jackson. He sees it's a $9,000 check.
Wow. Can't believe you sold your car.
Me neither. It really doesn't feel like I had a choice.
Jackson takes her hand. At home, Courtney wheels a trash can down the driveway. Taylor approaches.
Taylor! I'm so glad you're home!
Wait, you're actually speaking to me?
Look, Heather said her dad said the only reason the dairy's not closing is because you sold your car to get money to buy fresh milk. That's just a nasty rumor, right?
Well, I just took the bus home. What does that tell you?
But you can't sell your car. It's not right. Just tell me what I can do to help.
Too late, Court. You'd be better off putting your time and energy into your party.
Sarah and those girls don't care about me. All they wanted was my money. Why would I even want to be a part of their stupid party? Especially if it means I'm gonna lose what I have with you.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
She hugs Taylor.
Maybe we could use the rest of my party budget to help us out.
Sure. But even with your $5,000, we're still $1,000 short on the milk money.
I think I have an idea.
At the store, Courtney lays down the orange dress.
Since I haven't even worn it yet, I'd like a full refund, please.
A woman behind the counter picks up a piece of paper from the dress's box. She looks at it and walks off.
Wow. I had no idea doing the right thing could be so painful.
Taylor puts her arm around Courtney. The girls exit the store through the doors under a sign reading, Holly's. Courtney answers her phone.
Hello?
Bonjour, Courtney. It's Philippe.
Listen, I know it is very last minute, but I was wondering, since we have this so-called dance of the spotlight on Saturday...
Would you like to have dinner and practice with me tonight at the country club?
The Millers invited you to be their guest.
See, Philippe, I actually need to talk to you about that.
Something is wrong?
Very. As it turns out, I'm not going to be a part of the battalion. I dropped out.
Since that is even more reason for you to come with me. If Saturday's not working for you, we'll create our own spotlight to celebrate you tonight.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
She hangs up. At night, a car stands in front of a manor house. A sign on the circular driveway reads, River City Country Club. In the decorated backyard, waiters serve meals to people seated at tables. Other people dance on a platform. Courtney, Philippe, and Richie sit at a table with two other people.
It was so nice of you to invite me. This is really fun.
It was all Philippe's idea. He's quite taken with you, Courtney.
Okay, I'm blushing, aren't I? How embarrassing is that?
We should dance, no?
We should dance, yes. Will you excuse us?
As long as nobody's making me dance, you're completely excused.
Philippe leads Courtney by the hand to the dance floor. He twirls her, then they dance together.
Wow, you really know what you're doing, huh?
Well, I should. My parents put me in lessons since I was 10.
He twirls Courtney twice. Sarah struts toward Courtney with her two friends in tow. Courtney sees them.
Oh, no.
So it's true. Weston said he thought he saw you here tonight.
Frankly, given all your desperate cries of poverty, I'm quite amazed you can even afford dinner. I'm aghast. The Millers? May I help you with something?
Actually, speaking of guests, it's only fair to tell you, we left word for all those people on your specific list, letting them know they're disinvited.
It was Sarah's idea, Courtney. It was the only way we could make up the budget deficit.
Just in case you care, turns out we're gonna end up with every single thing we wanted. Despite the fact that you nearly sabotaged the whole event. We convinced our dads to kick in the needed extra dollars, and all it cost us was a half an hour of crocodile tears.
Oh, you must be so proud.
Crab legs, oyster bar, steak, lobster, the balloon arch, the ice sculpture. You know, seems like the only thing that won't be there is you.
Try not to be too heartbroken, Sarah.
I won't.
Now, if you'll excuse us, Philippe and I have to dance to finish. Twirl me now.
Philippe twirls her twice as they leave the dance floor. Sarah looks on and shakes her head. At the Callums, Jackson knocks on the front door. Taylor answers it.
Hey. Hi, what are you doing here?
Judging by how you seem buying the milk this afternoon, I was thinking you could use some cheering up.
Come on in.
She takes his hand and pulls him in, now on a vacant lawn.
So explain to me this. If those are the kinds of girls involved in this, cotillion, why you wanted to be part of it in the first place?
Wow, Philippe. I honestly wish I could tell you. I guess because it all looked so glamorous and cool when Taylor did it. Maybe that's the problem. I've spent so long trying to be my sister. Now, I just need to be me.
They lean in to kiss. Sprinklers activate on the lawn and spray water. Courtney dashes off. Philippe follows her.
What did you say?
At Taylor's home, a movie plays on TV. She sits on a couch with Jackson, facing him.
You know what's so crazy about this whole ordeal?
What did you say, honey?
It's sure given me a new appreciation for my dad.
I'll bet.
The way he makes it all look so easy. Running the dairy, taking care of me and Courtney. He never even complains. I sure wish he'd get home already.
Well, not right this second. Because then I wouldn't have the nerve to do this.
He kisses her. Corinne walks in.
Popcorn?
She holds a tray with a bowl of popcorn on it. Daytime. On the factory production line, Taylor and Courtney stand together and fix lids on tubs. They share a smile. Fran approaches them.
How's it going, girls?
Great. We're actually finally getting the hang of this gig.
Well, that's good. Listen, I was wondering, are you too busy tomorrow night?
Not anymore.
Perfect, because Keith and I are having a can't believe we survived this awful week party, and we would just love it if you could be there.
Sounds fun.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be. The dairy band's going to play, and everybody's bringing food.
We're happy to bring sodas and cups.
Excellent. My place, 7 p.m.
Okay. In a yard decorated with colorful lights, Keith handles the barbecue. People and kids dance as the factory band plays. Philippe twirls Courtney. Jackson and Taylor hook their arms and spin around. Mr. Perez and Melvin watch from nearby and laugh. Peter and Joyce sit on the side. The sisters hold hands and spin.
Before we sing the next song, I just wanted to say that thanks to you all, we're still in business. Yeah. And you know what? We couldn't have done it without the amazing financial and moral support of the Callum girls. You might not know this, but tonight was supposed to be Courtney's cotillion.
Who cares? I'd much rather be here with all of you.
Aww. Fair enough. But after everything you've done, you should at least get to have your spotlight dance.
Fran looks to the band.
You ready?
Okay. A one.
Keith pulls a plug and the lights dim. Ralph runs over.
Folks, sorry to interrupt. We've got an emergency.
I don't understand. How could all the products we made this week suddenly be expired?
No, but that's the point. They're not.
Yeah, clearly, somewhere along the line, the date stamp was incorrectly set.
Yeah, that's why the first two accounts I stopped at tonight refused delivery. Yeah, yogurt, cheese, all of it.
Couldn't you explain that it was just a simple mistake?
No, it's not that easy. I mean, who's going to want to buy something they think's already gone bad?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't we put new lids on and stamp them with the right date?
No. Yeah. Health code regulations strictly prohibit a product from being sold once it's been resealed.
We have to start a whole new run from scratch or lose at least 14 major accounts.
How could this have happened?
As the partygoers look around, Courtney shakes her head.
It was me. The other day when I was so mad at you about getting exiled from my party, that's the date I must have accidentally set.
In a flashback.
Expiration date reset.
Today! The whole entire dairy is gonna crash and burn because of me.
Whoa. But we can salvage this, right?
What if we started the run right now? We're all here. We could all pitch in.
Well, yeah, except for the fact that we're almost out of milk again.
Well, I could fix that.
Dad, no. How can we afford it?
Well, son, we can't afford not to help. If the dairy goes belly up, we lose their business and half our income to boot.
So let's go. Let's get moving.
Whoa, not so fast. I mean, even if everybody here works, we don't have the manpower for an all-inventory run. We'd have to get every machine going double time. We'd need people unloading and reloading the fleet of trucks. Unless you've got 25 extra bodies, it's impossible.
He's right. Simply wanting to make it happen is not enough.
Melvin shakes his head.
Hold on. I know we can get more volunteers. You should all get down to the dairy and get started. Taylor and I will meet you there as soon as we can.
Taylor, Courtney, and Jackson rush off. At the club, a band plays as kids dance.
I don't want to grow up. Don't want to figure this out. I know you set me up. Don't want this dragging you down. I don't want to grow up. Don't want to figure this out. I don't want to
Courtney hurries onto the dance floor. Jackson and Taylor follow her. Courtney goes up to the lead singer.
Sorry to interrupt, but can I borrow your mic?
Yeah. What do you think you're doing, Courtney? You're not welcome here.
I know. But I'm desperate.
So what else is new?
Hi. You guys, can you please listen a minute? I know I have no right to ask this, but my father's dairy is in horrible trouble. And if we don't get some extra help down there right now, a lot of wonderful, hardworking people will lose their jobs.
And we care why?
Because you should. Because we're all part of the same community. Look, until a few days ago, I was just like all of you. I didn't know. I didn't care. But I've learned stuff. Everybody in this room is so lucky, and it's just an accident of birth. We have no clue what most people are up against. But it's not too late to learn. Seriously, it feels really good to help other people. It's an amazing rush to give something back.
That's good, because you know what you can give back?
The microphone.
What? Yeah. Dude, no! There's more to life than balloon arches and ice sculptures.
No, I... Give it back.
No, give it back.
Give me the microphone.
No, I want it now.
Sarah, give me the microphone.
Sarah snatches the microphone from the stand and falls backward into a shallow pool. Sarah's friend points to something.
Oh, the dessert parade!
Everyone leaves. People dressed as chefs enter, carrying tiered trays filled with desserts. Guests swarm around them.
Oh, creme brulee.
Courtney looks down at Sarah and shrugs. Taylor laughs. At the factory, people head inside. Jackson's dad unspools a hose from a tanker truck and carries it inside. Elsewhere, Ralph opens the back of a truck and hands a crate filled with tubs to Philippe. He hands it to another man as it passes down a human chain. Ralph passes several more crates. On the production line, people work as Jackson and the sisters pass through.
I mean, I don't get it. How could I feel like that?
You didn't, okay? You were awesome.
I would have followed you anyway.
Yeah, because you're not a pathetic little Sarah clone. I mean, just see those zombies? It's ridiculous.
Inhale, exhale.
Even without those losers, there still has to be a way we can get this done.
Where are your friends?
Lost in their own little world.
So they're not coming?
No.
It's over.
So what do we do now?
I'm afraid we have to send everyone home. Okay, guys, shut it down.
All right, let's Reed enters with a large group.
Did I hear this place could use a little help?
Daddy!
The girls run into Reed's arms.
And with a whole group of your friends to pitch in, too.
But you with them? How?
Well, I was on my trip and missing you two and realizing where I really wanted to be was home, so I came back. And then when I went to look for you at the club, this whole crew pounced on me.
After you left, we all started talking and we were like,
wow,
what Courtney said was so right. We have to get outside ourselves and start helping people for a change.
And then your sweet dad showed up. So confused and out of the loop.
We gave him the headlines, and here we are, reporting for duty.
All right, let's get busy here.
Come on, let's get back to work.
Yeah, what's
up? Come on.
They all disperse clad in white coats and hairnets. Men pour milk into a metal funnel. A man stacks empty tubs. People pack sealed tubs into crates. Fran, Taylor, and Courtney place lids on the tubs. People move loaded crates onto handcarts. A man wearing a bow tie pushes a handcart stacked with crates. Women in cocktail dresses and men in suits form a human chain with others. They pass crates along from the factory and pack them into trucks. Ralph shuts the door of the last truck in a row of three. He jumps off the truck and pounds on the trailer. The trucks move off one by one. Reed exits the factory with Taylor and Courtney on either side of him. As they head down a ramp, everyone assembles at the bottom of it.
Well, troops, against all odds, we pulled this off! I don't know how I'll ever be able to thank you enough. Tomorrow, I'll figure out how much damage Bob Fenwick did, but tonight, I want you all to know that as long as I'm in business, every one of you has a job. You're the best! My own Taylor and Courtney.
He embraces them.
Thank you, girls. From the bottom of my heart. You really came through when it mattered the most. Now, before I send you all home for a well-earned sleep, I'm told that there's still one last thing we have to do. So, Courtney, Philippe, it's time for your spotlight dance.
Philippe takes Courtney's hand and they walk to the center of the crowd. The headlights of a pickup truck switch on and illuminate the two as they hold hands and dance. The factory band plays. Reed and Taylor walk towards Courtney and Philippe and dance next to them.
I believe
you can shine. If you have to grab the stars right out of the sky.
Reed twirls Taylor and passes her to Jackson.
Close your eyes. Sometimes you have to see it from your heart to get it right.
Other couples dance. Reed thanks Joyce, Mr. Perez, Melvin, and Jackson's dad.
Everything you wanna be is coming around. It's all good now. It all works out. You'll see it all comes down to taking chances, living life just in time.
Now Reed sits at a desk filled with papers. He taps on a calculator. Courtney and Taylor enter his home office.
How's it going?
We'll survive. Barely.
It's really that bad?
Yep. Money's gone. It's basically like we're starting over.
I'm so sorry, Daddy. How could he do that? You're his best friend.
Greed's a funny thing, girls. That's a way of getting the best of some people.
All so evil.
We are definitely in for some serious belt tightening around here, okay? No vacations, mm-hmm. No more country clubs, no shopping sprees.
Courtney gapes.
It's gonna be okay. We can do this. For sure. But we can still buy new school shoes, right? Just one pair each.
Taylor makes a throat-cutting gesture to her.
We'll see.
Be strong, Court. Yeah. Be strong.
She puts a hand on Courtney's shoulder, then embraces her. At dawn, Reed eats at the kitchen table. Corinne wipes down a counter.
Thanks for breakfast, Corinne.
No girls this morning?
I snuck in and shut off their alarms. All things considered, I figured they deserve a few days off.
He picks up a briefcase.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
He leaves. Later, he climbs into his car and sets down his briefcase.
Morning, Daddy!
Whoa!
Hey!
The girls sit in the back.
Girls, what are you doing here? I wasn't going to make you come in today.
Oh, but we want to go.
You do?
If we're at the dairy, that's 8 hours a day. We can't be at the mall.
Well, that's a very good point. Let's go to work.
Can I drive?
No, you can't. Nice try.
Reed drives up the property and heads down a road lined by trees. Fade to black. Audio description funded by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Marcia Bartonetti. A logo appears. Disney Channel Original.